Our godly character, I believe the Bible makes this clear. We're going to look at this today. Our godly character will determine how powerful of a witness that we can be for Christ Jesus. And certainly Christ calls us to be a witness for him. So we're going to talk about godly character today. And I just want to throw this out there that godly character takes time to develop. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a quick fix. Especially for people who may came to faith late in life and they brought a lot of baggage with them. They brought a lot of character flaws with them. And that was me, folks. I came to know Christ. Some of you have heard my story. I came to know him in my mid-20s, and my character was all out of whack. I was just doing things that I'm not proud of. And when I talk about it, I only talk about it because the grace of God is bigger, you know. But I needed help. And here's what I'm thankful for, that Jesus, he invites us in just where we're at. If you didn't know this about your Savior, or if you don't know Jesus this morning, I just want to let you know, he invites you right where you're at. All of your hang-ups, all of your messiness, he says, come to me just how you are. And he offers us his grace and his forgiveness. But he refuses to leave us there. That's the idea of becoming a disciple and growing in our faith and growing in our godly character so we can be a powerful witness for Christ Jesus. And so I want to introduce you to a man this morning. He's a hero of the faith. I strongly believe that. This man's name is Stephen. And it's not Stephen Sterling, okay? I'm not going to talk about, do you know who Stephen Sterling is? I didn't get many laughs on that one, but he's back there in the booth. Stephen, raise your hand. I am not going to talk about him today. I would love to, but we'll save that for another time, although he is a man with godly character. But no, I want to talk about Stephen from the Bible. His story is very short, but very powerful. This is a man whose life is a wonderful example of how excellent godly character can help us be a powerful witness for Christ Jesus. Now, we met Stephen last week. You were introduced to him last week if you were here. In Acts chapter 6, Pastor Chris shared with us the story about the church was having problems. And there were widows in the church that felt like they weren't getting the same amount of care. The Greek-speaking widows weren't getting the same amount of care as the Jewish-speaking widows. And so there was a problem. And the apostles took care of it. They said, okay, look, there is a need. There's a need for care, and it's not getting taken care of. So we've got things to do. We as apostles need to spend our time preaching and teaching. And so let's raise up 7 godly men to care for these widows, okay? And so they did that. And if we look here in Acts chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, this is what the apostle said. It says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen. There he is. Hello, Stephen. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So this is going to be a 2-part sermon. This week we're going to spend time just getting to know Stephen. We're going to take a survey of his character. It's important to know Stephen's character because if we just jumped into Stephen's witness, we wouldn't understand how he could be such a powerful witness if we didn't understand first his character. And we can learn from Stephen. Okay? And I think what we need to look at here is the very first thing that we need to know about Stephen is he was full of it. Man, my jokes are not happening today. He was full of it, okay? Yeah, anyone ever said, oh, you're full of it, or you heard someone say that person's full of it, right? Meaning that person's not trustworthy, what they say doesn't match up with their actions. But Stephen was full of it, but this, in a good way, folks, in a good way. And we're going to find out how he was full of it. Okay, now, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, as it says here in verse 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important. Stephen first had to be full of the Holy Spirit before his character could develop. Before his godly character could develop, he had to be first full of the Holy Spirit. What does the word full mean? Because it says in the text, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. We can translate that word full to mean filled up. Stephen was filled up, which means he was completely controlled. Completely controlled. He had completely surrendered himself to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. He said, Holy Spirit, you take the lead and I'm going to follow. And what we need to know, and maybe you know this, and so I'm going to remind you, but maybe you don't. When we say yes to Jesus, when we invite him in as our Lord and our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and makes a home in our heart. The Holy Spirit fills us. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Peter just gets done giving his awesome sermon, right? And he's speaking in other languages, and people are hearing the gospel, and they said, what are we supposed to do now? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Stephen had the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And we need to allow ourselves to be full, to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, what we need to understand is Stephen's godly character was completely dependent on allowing himself to be full, to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. And when we allow ourselves to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit, our will, our actions, our thoughts, our obedience are in full submission to God's leading, to God's teaching, to God's growing us and empowering our lives. We are in full submission. And what happens? What's the result? The result is godly character is built in our lives so we can be a powerful witness for Christ Jesus. Amen. It did Stephen. The Bible says that Stephen was full of faith and was full of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Stephen and what it meant for him to be full of faith. Now, and this is a result of the Holy Spirit's working in his life. A person who's full of faith, no doubt, will be faithful in the calling that God puts on their life. We see Stephen early, when we meet him for the first time, he gets put in charge of the care ministry, to care for the widows, right? This is a man who cared deeply for the physical and the spiritual well-being of the community of believers. And he faithfully submitted himself to the calling that God put on his life, to be a part of this ministry and to care for the widows. He was faithful. He submitted himself to the work that the Holy Spirit called him to do. He was completely controlled by his faith in God. And I love that because, you know, I think about that and I think, you know, I don't know exactly Stephen's passion level, you know, for the care ministry. I know he did it with all his heart and he submitted to it. I don't know how long he did it because, and the reason why I talk about these things and I think about these things is because Stephen eventually goes on and starts preaching the gospel, as we're going to see. So there was a time where he was faithfully doing ministry and he was open and ready and being faithful to what God was going to bring next. And that's good for us too. Sometimes maybe we feel like the ministry that we're in or the job that we're doing or whatever it is, is a little below us or doesn't quite match our skill level. But God wants us to do it with all of our hearts. And then as we're faithful with the little things, he gives us bigger things, right? Like he did Stephen. Not only was Stephen completely faithful to his calling, but he was completely controlled by his faith in God. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was the author and the sustainer of all life, of his life. That God was in complete control. He lived and he moved and he breathed because of God alone. And he knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the promised Messiah. That Jesus was his Lord and Savior. That Jesus died on the cross for his sins and completely forgave all of his sins, restored his relationship to the Father. And Jesus rose to glory on the third day. He believed that with all of his heart. And because of that, because he was completely faithful in what he believed, it allowed him to be strong and courageous. Think about it. I mean, as we see what he does, it's just like, wow, this guy was super strong and courageous. He was completely focused on the calling and what he needed to do. He was completely faithful with it. I like to call it no fear faith. Stephen was full of no fear faith. I love that. I think about my life. What are the things that I'm faithful in? What are the things that I'm full, like completely rock solid, full of faith? Like I'm unmovable. My faith is unmovable. Because here's the thing. What I've noticed is sometimes for me, maybe sometimes for you, trusting God as our Savior, right? Doesn't exactly match up with trusting God for the concerns of our everyday life. They're kind of out of balance. Yes, I firmly believe Jesus is my Savior, and I trust him in that. In my eternal destiny. But what about the everyday, the day-to-day life and life's concern? Do we fully trust God in that, like Stephen did? Or is it a little out of balance? I love what Chuck Swindoll says about the Christian believer. He says, while trusting God for their eternal destiny, they find it difficult to trust him with the concerns of everyday life. And I just got to ask the question, is any one of us here struggling with that? Do we feel a little out of balance with trusting God with the day-to-day things of life, the things that life throws at us? Perhaps you trust him fully with your health, like ironclad, God, you're in control, but fall short with trusting him with your finances. When things get tight, you're ready to hit the eject button. That's me. I've struggled with that for a long, long time, trusting God fully with the everyday thing of my finances, just because I grew up with absolutely nothing. My parents were poor. I didn't have much. So I'm a little guarded when it comes to stuff like that. But I'm working on it. God's working on it with me. You know what I mean? Perhaps you have full trust in Jesus as your Savior, but maybe fall short when someone challenges your faith. Someone comes against your faith and says, why do you believe what you believe? That's silly. And you kind of clam up. You're not sure what to do. Whatever it is, think about where could the weakness in your armor be? It's good to take an inventory. I believe, like Stephen, we need to give God our full trust in both matters of our salvation and matters in the challenges of everyday life. And this was crucial for Stephen. This was crucial for him to be balanced in this. Would you go to Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, and let's take a look at really where Stephen is now at. I mean, I'm not quite sure, because they don't make it clear, if Stephen had graduated from the care ministry and now he's just totally hitting the streets, proclaiming his faith and debating people. But look at what's going on here. It says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and those of Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. but they could not withstand the wisdom. I love this. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he, that's Stephen, was speaking. Wow. Way to go, Stephen, man. He's full of it. He continues to be full of it. And I love that. Now, you may be wondering what the synagogue of the freedmen is, because I think that that's worth at least noting very quickly. A synagogue was a local place for studying the Torah and for prayer. There were many synagogues all over the area. There were several in Jerusalem. The freedmen referred to men who were once Jewish slaves at a time, but then bought their freedom, and now were free Roman citizens, okay? And their descendants of these freed Roman slaves, these guys also, their descendants also remained freed Roman citizens. And this is where a lot of scholars think Paul's Roman citizenship came from. He was part of this. So just a little information on that. But we see here, right at the beginning, that Stephen is full of grace. Love that. Another great character trait of Stephen. He's full of grace. How was he full of grace? Why was Stephen so special? How did he obtain this character trait? Well, I believe, and I think a lot of scholars say, he was full of grace because he'd been filled with God's saving grace. He understood what that meant. He understood the grace that was afforded to him. Like, he knew it with all of his heart. The grace that was afforded to him by Christ Jesus. The grace that was given to him, the saving grace that drew him to Christ. That he was able to put his faith in Jesus. He knew it wasn't by his works and his good looks and his charming personality that he was saved. He knew it was by grace alone. In Ephesians 2, it says, you know, we're saved by grace, by faith in Christ Jesus. Not by anything we've done, not by our own works, so we can't boast. He fully knew that. Through this grace, this saving faith, it was active in Stephen's life. And because it was active, because, man, it bled out of him, that's who he was. He was a man full of grace. He was able to be gracious to others. And that's what God wants for us. See, it's important for us to know that while Stephen was sharing the gospel and debating these people from the synagogues and these religious leaders and things like that, he wasn't doing it. He wasn't motivated by hate. Like, who do you think you are? You know, you're silly for believing what you do. You need to turn or burn, you know. He wasn't motivated by a malicious attitude. Like, these guys were coming against him, so he had to get back at them, you know, and shove the gospel down their throat. His ego wasn't bruised. He was gracious. He was able to speak from a point of graciousness, even to the point of death, which we'll see next week. Stephen wasn't hung up on his own interests. He wasn't hung up on his own preservation of his life. He was totally abandoned to show and share the grace of God with others. How did Stephen live a life like this, full of grace? Well, I think what he shows is that for us, we need to continually be reminded that it was by grace we were saved. I think that was always on Stephen's mind. We need to remind ourselves every day, it's by grace I'm saved, not by my own awesomeness. If we lose sight of God's grace and his graciousness in our life, if we lose sight of that, folks, we can end up being very critical of people. I've been there. We cannot lose sight of God's grace in our life. It's by grace that we were saved, and it's by grace that we live. We think about what Jesus did. He took up his cross for us. He denied himself. He denied his deity. He emptied himself. And he submitted himself to death on a cross for our sakes. And he did it by grace. And so, if we are to live by grace, let's take up our cross daily. The Bible says, take up your cross daily if you want to be my disciple. What does that mean? That means let's die to self. Let's die to our self-centeredness. That's taking up our cross daily. Let's die to our self-centeredness and let's live for others. That's being full of grace. When we do that, we can be a powerful witness for Christ Jesus. Now, it says Stephen was full of grace and what? And power. And was doing great wonders and signs among the people. All right, power. I like that word, power. That's where we get the word dynamite. Power. Boom. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. If we want to be a powerful witness for Jesus, we have to have his power. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it. Stephen displayed power that was given to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't by Stephen's power, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this power allowed him to do great signs and wonders among the people. What were they? I don't know. It doesn't say. Luke doesn't record it. But I think that we can probably get an idea just by looking at Acts and what the apostles were doing with their signs and wonders, you know, speaking in languages that weren't theirs, miraculous healings, right? Powerfully sharing the gospel, opening the eyes of the blind, people dropping dead. Those signs and wonders helped Stephen to be a powerful witness for Christ, and people took notice. People took notice. Those signs and wonders were specifically for to be a witness for Christ. Because that's what Jesus said. You're going to be my witness. And we have to ask ourselves, as Christians today, how do we allow the Holy Spirit to manifest his power in our lives, right? Like, I know I have been to certain churches where this whole idea of the power of the Holy Spirit is kind of manipulated and used in an unhealthy way, and that's unfortunate. I've seen that. So I think we have to be careful when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and how he manifests it in our life. And I think if we look at the Bible, I think it's really easy to identify how the power of the Holy Spirit is manifesting it himself in our life. Because the Bible says, well, one way is by your fruit. What about the fruit of the Spirit? If we're displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our life, which comes from the Holy Spirit, we're going to show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's the Holy Spirit manifesting his power in your life, a complete transformation of your heart and mind. Love that. How about in the way we treat each other? That's a great example of the Holy Spirit manifesting his power in our life. How gracious we are to others. How good we are to others. Right? What about boldness for witnessing for Jesus? You know? No fear, faith. That's a manifestation of God's power in our life. Right living. Making good choices. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of sound mind. Making good choices. A transformation of the heart and mind. This is the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So we have to ask ourselves, I'm just going to ask two questions. What is one area of your life that you see the Holy Spirit's power working in a way that is helping you be a powerful witness for Jesus? Think about that. What's one way? Maybe there's a lot, but one will do. And then the other question I'd like to ask is, what is one area of your life that you need, more power? Maybe you're lacking a little bit. In Acts 16, it says, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit in which he, Stephen, was speaking. Stephen was full of God-given wisdom. Man, that's so good. Not full of Stephen-given wisdom, but full of God-given wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's from God's word. It's from God's power and his leading in our life that we get our wisdom. Interesting, a little word study on wisdom. Where does that come from? Scholarly research has shown that the word wisdom comes from the Hebrew word meaning skill. Skill. I love that. So an example would be the craftsman who would use skill to make the tabernacle and the furniture that went in it. We see this in Exodus chapter 36. Read that. The skill that they had to make the tabernacle and the furniture. So biblical wisdom is having the skill to apply biblical truth in specific situations that would bring glory to God. And certainly, as we get to know Stephen, he was full of skill. He was full of godly wisdom, right? He could confidently debate with anyone who would challenge the validity of his faith. I love that. I pray every day for more godly wisdom. You know, I mean, I want my desires to have the skill to know how to properly apply what I've learned from the Bible into all situations of life. And God has really helped me with this. I mean, at first I was just a knucklehead. I read the Bible like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? You know what I mean? It's like, and then situations would come up and I would remember scripture that I've read and how God says to deal with things, certain situations in my life, and all of a sudden I'm making better choices. You know, that skill is being built, is being matured in my life. It doesn't happen overnight. Skill takes time, doesn't it? Like anything, skill takes time to build. And I love that about Stephen. And so let's book in the story now. Let's look at Acts chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. Because now, here comes the accusation. Okay? It says this, then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witness who said, this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place, that's the temple, and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place, that's the temple, and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, this is great, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Anybody ever said you got the face of an angel? No one's ever said that to me, but maybe one day. I love that. If we look at this verse, we see a stark contrast between Stephen and all those who came against his testimony for Christ. What was that contrast? Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. right? Everything that he shared, everything that he debated, how the reason why he could speak confidently is because he had the power of the Holy Spirit. He had the truth in him, and he was a man of character. And he knew. He knew how to share his faith confidently, comfortably, and with truth, and with grace. And he didn't get rattled. He had the truth. The Holy Spirit was in him. However, the men who spoke falsely about him, they were blinded by the prince of this world. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They were false teachers. Let me remind you of what the devil's up to in the heart of the unbeliever. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Folks, that should break your heart, because it breaks my heart. When I think about the people out there who are blinded by the prince of this world, blinded to the truth, blinded to the gospel, it breaks my heart, and I pray against it every day. I pray against the enemy every day, that the Lord would break the chains of people's minds and open up their eyes to the truth of the gospel. We need to win souls for the kingdom. The Holy Spirit was Stephen's ally. What we see here is the wisdom of the world is no match for the wisdom of God. Remember that. The next time you're being a powerful witness for the Lord, the wisdom of the world is no match for the wisdom of God. These men knew this. It frustrated these men that came against Stephen. They couldn't compete against the wisdom of God. The only thing that they could do was get desperate and speak falsely about Stephen. That's all they could do. Isn't that crazy? And we see this today. Those who come against God's truth, the truth of the gospel, I think they only end up frustrated. In the end, they only end up frustrated. Because we can't stand up against the wisdom of God. And unfortunately, sometimes that frustration, and I've seen it, I've been a part of it, I've been on the receiving end of it, you get yelled at, right? You get cursed at. I've seen people get violent with Christ followers, right? Because they don't like what we have to say. Cancel culture, right? Don't like what we have to say? Let's cancel them. On social media. They smear the name of Jesus and his followers. And that's unfortunate. And we have to remember that they're blinded to the truth. And so we need to be gracious and pray that God would break the bondage. But folks, we can stand firm. I'm telling you. Those who are in Jesus can stand firm when accusations come, just like Stephen did. And our face will shine like that of the face of an angel. I love that. What does that mean? Some translations say Stephen's face was as bright like an angel. Is this literal? Could be. Scholars debate one way or the other. I mean, Jesus was transfixed, right? We know that from the Bible, from the Gospels. But I think ultimately, having the face of an angel like Stephen did, being able to stand in the council of your accusers, having the face of an angel, think about that. I think that having the face of an angel is being completely controlled by the Holy Spirit, having full confidence in our faith, power and boldness in our witness, having grace in our treatment for others and wisdom to speak and live God's truth in all circumstances of life. All that translates to your posture, right? That wisdom. I don't know. I think about talking to people who just seem so confident, full of grace and wisdom, and man, I can't help but be like, wow, there's something about you. Just the godly people in your life, you know, where you just look at them, you're like, you're kind of glowing right now, and I want what you have. You know, there's just something different about them. This is Stephen because of who he was. I'll end with this. We serve a God who is faithful. We serve a God who is faithful. Don't forget that. We can't look at Scripture and not understand God better. We serve a God who is faithful. We serve a God who is gracious. We serve a God who is active, always active in our character development and growing us up. So folks, if that's the God we serve, if that's who He is, then we can be a church. We can be a people who is full. We can be full. Completely controlled by God so that we can be a powerful witness for Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? And I'll invite the worship team up. Father God in heaven, You are so good in Lord, what can we say? Only You have the words of life. You give life and life to the full. There's no one like You, Jesus. Thank You for Your saving grace. Thank You for, Father God, thank You for giving us Stephen's story. Although short, it's so sweet. We see that he was a man completely full and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And thus, the Spirit was just working miraculous things in his life, building his character and helping be a powerful witness. Lord, help us to be the same. Help us to see these character traits and want them for ourselves. That we would not be satisfied until these traits are built and they're strong in us. Help us to take the next step today. Lord, impress upon our hearts how we can, maybe it's we just need to see You different. Maybe we need to trust You in a different way in our life. Maybe give You something that we've been holding back. Maybe we have a burning fire in our heart right now to be a witness, like, because we know that this is a matter of life and death. And we want to see as many people saved as possible. Whatever it is, Lord, impress upon our heart and help us to take that next step. Thank You, Jesus. It's in Your name we ask and pray. Amen.